You're listening to the Geek Legacy Escape Pod.
The crew coming together and gelling and becoming this, like, you know, intergalactic family that we know and love.
And wacky mayhem ensues.
It just feels like they're trying so hard to capture the fans of the original series.
Yeah, that was hot garbage.
He just got, like, weird, like, creepy uncle weird.
That was a bold choice.
Yeah, I had fun with it.
That's true. It was the 80s.
It must be so bad that they just never rewrite.
You won't make it in the future, do you?
I don't think so, no.
I am not a Tosh ER fan. That's probably the nicest thing I will say.
That is absolutely perfect way to describe it.
Yeah.
Abandon ship. Abandon ship. This is not a drill. Everyone to the escape pod. Hello and welcome to another episode of Geek Legacy's Escape Pod, where we take a look at Star Trek The Next Generation, one episode at a time. We are not even halfway through season one, and we are feeling like we are hiking through mud. But we are going through every episode trying to rank which ones we would grade as a yay, which ones we would grade as a nay, and seeing if it lives up to all the hype that we seem to remember it having grown up with it. So far, for anybody keeping count, we are 12 episodes in. This is going to be episode number 13. We have 5 yays so far and 7 nays. So we have a chance to close that gap or widen it a little bit this week. So I'm really curious to see what direction it's going to go. The episode that we watched this week is the 13th episode. It's called Angel One. It originally aired on January 23rd, 1988. And it was directed by Michael Rhodes, who did not direct any other episodes of Next Generation before or after this, at least in season one. So this looks like a one and done kind of job here. And to read a little blurb here, and this is before I introduce you guys. Sorry, I'm going to make you wait and sit before I introduce you, Dave and Justin, my two co-hosts. I'm off on a tangent. I'm sorry. I'm just going. So Angel One. Riker, Troy, Data, and Yar beam down to a planet ruled by a matriarchal government in hopes of locating a missing freighter crew. So that's what we have to work with. And the gentleman here to work on that with me is one Mr. David Edmondson. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
Fantastic. I can't wait to beam down a planet with big girls who take charge.
I like the sound of that. I like the way you kind of package that up. And Mr. Justin Cavender, how are you doing?
I'm fabulous, Randy. Thank you. And I also can't wait to be down to a planet with women in charge, especially when the guys are so little. That one dude was the itty bitty. Yeah. I don't even remember what his name was.
Trent.
Yeah. That little guy. I don't know if that was camera hocus pocus or if he was really just a tiny little fella.
I think they wanted to portray it so all the women were like kind of big and muscular and you know, in looking like they can do all the manual labor of the land, and then the men were a little bit more demure, a little kind of petite.
Yeah, they mentioned that in the episode that the women have evolved to be the dominant physical species as well.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Is it? I mean, I get the social allegories, you know, there was a film called White Man's Burden with John Travolta where, you know, racial tensions were switched and stuff like that. But the problem with you know, telling stories like this is that it doesn't get to the heart of the issue. You know, the beauty of Star Trek is that by the time we get to the Next Generation, you know, all semblance of, you know, racism and sexism has been abolished. And rather than make comparisons to how humans reach the point of equality, they decide to like flip it so women are sexist against dudes, and it's just a silly exercise of like just like self gratification. Having said that, it was amazing to see Riker put on that outfit and just like be like, "I'm gonna have sex with you." He is the Aldous Snow of the 24th century, and I just picture him looking at girls like, "I'm gonna have sex with you. I'm gonna have sex with you too." And gotta love that Riker. And as much as Riker likes women, man, that Jean-Luc Picard, he sure hates Wesley Crusher. Oh man, I didn't get any words from "Shut up, Wesley." And this episode, he just, fuck, man, if he could put Wesley Crusher in airlock and jettison him into space without hearing it from his mother, oh man, I think he would in a second.
Was this the episode where they were in ski outfits?
Yeah.
Okay, that's this episode. Okay.
Yeah. Where he goes with all these like his friend, and then like he somehow he like throws a snowball and Picard catches it in the face.
A virus-laden snowball, no less.
Yeah, from the holodeck.
Yeah, from the holodeck. Which it wasn't really clear where that virus came from, was
it? No, the holodeck's taking over the ship. Trouble.
Yeah, that holodeck, man, turned it into a real pain in the ass. So there's an interesting little blurb in the Wikipedia here for the under the production section for this episode. And this is kind of a follow-up on one of the things that you were saying, David. It says, producer Herbert Wright explained that this episode was meant to be a commentary on apartheid in South Africa with men on the planet representing black people.
Yeah, that's a big swing and even a bigger miss.
Right.
Yeah, if you have to explain it, then it's not good.
It's like having to explain a joke. It's not necessarily that you didn't get it. It just wasn't necessarily a good joke.
It's not even a good one-to-one comparison, because the women weren't murdering the men for being men. They were just like, you know, if you would have said it's an allegory on, like, you know, current-day sexism, you know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I get it. You know, you're trying to point the lens in the other direction. I still think it's silly and doesn't work, but to make apartheid comparisons is that's pretty asinine.
Right. Especially when all the guys are doing is just their servants, you know? Like they're not being injured or punished in any way.
Well, and then the ones that are crashed there, the ones that are not native to that planet, that the Federation have come to rescue, they're not trying to like drastically overthrow the planet or anything. They're just trying to kind of keep the male gender norms that they're used to. And they have a small following of some of the women of the planet. Maybe even some of the other guys get behind them, and they're seen as basically terrorists, revolutionaries. Right.
It doesn't even seem like the ladies there care about these people though, because like it didn't seem to put in a lot of effort into finding them. And it didn't seem like, oh yeah, they're here. If you guys can find them, take them. I don't care.
Well, I think it wasn't until like the one lady that's running the show, what's her name? Beata?
Beta. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't until she learned that like one of her members of her council, like her number two or whatever, was
councilwoman Ariel or something like that.
Yeah.
Or
shacking up with one of the dudes. It's like, whoa, 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 that crossed the line. Now y'all gotta go.
Yeah.
So all right. Then it kind of turns into, you know, Do they kill them? Do they execute them? Which is what Beata and the women of the planet Angel One want to do. Or
little dude wanted to too, man. He had murder in his eyes when he had the little ball, and he's like,
"Mommy, make him fly."
yeah, exactly.
It's gonna say he's got like Napoleon or Chihuahua complex, you know?
Yeah,
little dude, big bark.
I was definitely getting some Joffrey vibes.
Right, but so there's two. So this episode was tricky because there's two things happening. There's the virus on the ship, and then there's the moral dilemma of the punishment for these, we'll call them survivors, because they crash landed on this planet, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that this episode shot itself in the foot by having two separate storylines. I think that they should have gone one way or the other. Like, there's a virus, and we have to figure out how to save it, or we have to, the moral question of the Federation stepping in and interfering with another society's rules and cultures and beliefs. And I think that if they would have stuck with one or the other, it would have been better versus the 20 minutes of one story and 20 minutes of the other. I don't think it worked out. I don't think we were able to get the payoff that we needed. The episode itself wasn't all that good, but I think that if we were dealing with these crash-landed survivors and the Federation was literally torn because they can't get involved, then it would have been much better. But Riker was prepared to break the rules right then and there. He's like, dude, I got these people that we got to get off the fucking planet right now, or they're going to get killed. You know, he was overstepping his bounds. He was prepared for a court-martial. And what I think would have been even better is if the what is his name, Beata? Is it Beta or Beata? I don't remember where
I think
it is.
It's Beata or something
Beata.
Like that.
Beata. Okay. If she would have saw through Riker's plan and said, you know what, we'll find a way to coexist in the Federation, and then the Enterprise crew beam up, and then she's like, execute him. She's like, fucking kill him. You know, like if she would have told him one thing and then did something else, and and it would have been a shame on Riker for thinking that he could even get involved in this. I think that would have been a much heavier impact, because I think we could relate to that and how, you know, we go to these other countries, we, you know, when one country is attacking another, or maybe there's a civil war going on, then we go in there, yeah, America, we're going to do what's right, and blah, blah, blah. And then we tear up the place, and then we leave, and then let's leave these people with what, right? So I think that there could have been some pretty interesting parallels that way. And if they would have left, and then she would have just been like, fucking kill these people, I'm sick of their ass. You know, we're not going to have these heretics in our community. We're going to kill them right now. And if the Enterprise would have left thinking that what they did was right, and they got away with it, I think that would have been pretty powerful.
Yeah. Once again, I find that your mentally rewritten episode to be better than what was presented to us.
Yeah, I thought the way the episode was going to go was going to be that, you know, because of the Prime Directive, that Riker was going to be forbidden from taking them off planet, and that, you know, the survivors of the Odin were going to be executed. And whether or not Riker was present for it, or he decided he didn't want anything to do with it and just beamed back into space, it just seemed these first couple episodes seem very light on consequences. You know,
right?
There's a lot going on in this galaxy, and so far, all we've been given is like happy, everything is solved within 44 minutes, and the galaxy is a happy and safe place. And I would have liked to have seen a little more gray, especially from these areas of the galaxy that we don't go to a lot, that aren't, you know, I would expect the Vulcans aren't going to do shit like this because, you know, they're a banner member of the Federation. These fringe members of the Federation who maybe see a Federation ship, you know, every century or something like that. I would like to see a little more, you know, sharpness to them.
I don't even think they're fringe, because from the sound of it, a Federation ship hasn't visited the planet for 60 years,
right?
And they never joined the Federation, so it's kind of like they seemed resistant to it.
They weren't even welcome.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to tolerate you being here, is I think the exact word.
Short visit.
Yeah, we'll tolerate a short visit.
Right. Like one evening with Riker, and then you leave.
Yeah. It's right. We want the tall one. Yeah, we want the tall one in a glittery blouse.
Yeah. Right. He got the text on his tricorder that said, like, you up?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the nipple showing, because I didn't even see his nipples. I'm like pausing to try and find a nipple in that hair. I'm like, I don't see his nips.
Okay, so interesting story, and it's not that I like focused on it or obsessed about it or anything, but the very first time when he's like modeling the outfit, when he first puts it on, and then Yar and Troy are just kind of like Yar's going like, oh, you're kind of sexy looking kind of, yeah. And she's like catcalling him a little bit. It looks like, I swear to God, like he had a little area shaved around his nipple, and you can totally see nipple. It stands out from all the rest of the fur on his chest. The very next scene when he's in like Beata's office and he's like meeting up with her for the hookup or whatever, it's like full bear, just full fur. Like there's no little area open for the nipple. Like you saw in the first shot when he first put the outfit on. After that, it's gone. So it's like, it's almost as if they obviously they shot it out of order or something like that. But I swear, like it was prominently
a nipple wrangler.
Yeah, right.
I need to see more nipple. I'm glad you brought up Tasha Yar. Man, does she suck? That's it.
Listen to you.
Yeah.
So bad.
And like, as for the virus, I was thinking about this too. Like, if this was a virus episode, you know, it would have been a good thing for there to be casualties on the Enterprise. You know, Dave just mentioned, you know, it's too no consequences and things like that. Like, I really wish that they couldn't find a cure. And even if they thought they found a cure, there was a conflict of maybe even going to a planet that they weren't welcome at to go and get what they needed to establish the cure. But then, like, all of a sudden, in true television fashion, it's the closing minutes of the episode, and bam, fucking Beverly Crusher has figured it out.
I think there's two things they could have done with the virus. One of them being, like you're recommending, showing that the danger is real, killing somebody off. Maybe kill off Wesley's friend that he was in the holodeck with. Like, if you kill off a younger character like that, it kind of like, whoa, like this is some serious shit. That's really
I hate that idea, Randy, because then we get the scene with Wesley talking about, he was so young and he was my friend. He's the more Wesley Crusher.
But then they would have figured it out, because he would be patient zero probably, and then they'd be like, well, where were you? Oh, I was in the holodeck.
Yeah, and then they get to snowballs. Maybe the root of it, where which we still don't know, even faster. But the other thing is the whole thing with going to meet the Romulans, or not to meet the Romulans, but to defend the starbase and the one other ship that's out there in the neutral zone from a Romulan attack. I think that an entire episode could have been made on they contract the virus while they're at some random planet before they get the call to go take part in this show of force to kind of scare off the Romulans. And then on their way over there is when everybody just starts dropping. Like, you lose all the bridge crew, and suddenly if they were forced to get into a fight with the Romulans, they wouldn't be able to do anything because everybody's fucking in sick bay. And it's like, it's a ticking clock. Like, you have to get everybody up and functional again to be able to defend themselves, because otherwise the whole ship could be blown up.
Right.
Not to mention a star base full of people and another ship full of people.
Yeah, the most interesting thing about this episode is that at some point the Enterprise has to go have a conflict with the Romulans. You know what's not shown in this show? Conflict with the Romulans.
Right. Also, I will point out that this is the very first time that the Romulans are mentioned in The Next Generation.
Yeah. And I can tell you, having watched the first like 3 minutes of the next episode, I was very excited because the episode opens with the Enterprise going towards a space station. I'm like, whoa, it's just like a continuation. They're going to get the Romulans. But no, it's not. It's different. Different space station. I was sad.
Buzzkill.
It was a buzzkill.
Yeah. Oh, this whole episode was a buzzkill.
It's interesting. I know Randy's on the same Wikipedia page. But in 2019, Screen Rant ranked Angel One the number one worst episode of the franchise.
Right. Wow. And so I do think that there's something there. Like, I just honestly think that they should have ditched the virus and stuck with Angel One, and there really would have been consequences. If perhaps Ariel had to watch her husband be murdered and then her be exiled or put in some prison or something for going against their way, I think that would have been far more impactful. But whatever. I think, especially if the Enterprise crew, you know, they have their mission to go remove them, and then they get to know them and see that they're just normal people and there's nothing wrong with them, and we have this relationship. If we got whatever his name was, Ramsey or some shit, we got to talk to Ramsey, see what he was about. They had like that 2 minute conversation, but I don't think it was enough. I think if they would have had this life and we got to meet the other wives and the kids and saw that they were just, you know, farmers out in the middle of nowhere, that would have been far more impactful for the conversation that Riker was having. Instead, we got, you know, yeah, these people aren't so bad. What's your problem? And then this plan B to just beam up immediately if it was going to hit the fan. I don't think that they played their cards right. I think it should have been done differently.
Yeah, it's like, why hide the fact that that they have been kind of hooking up with the locals and that they've been kind of creating little families and stuff there. I would think that would be kind of like a stronger, like, why not just admit that up front? Then that way they can kind of go back to Bayana, right, and the council, that kind of thing, and say, hey, look, they're not as disruptive as you think they are. This is just maybe a different lifestyle. And even like at the end of the episode, when she decides to stay the execution and says, look, it's not going to be an easy life for them. We're going to exile them out in the middle of effing nowhere where there's nothing, you know, but at least they'll still be alive. Maybe go to that before jumping right to kill them. Like, all right, well, I accept that even some of my own people are on board with this. And, you know, I don't want to be responsible for killing my own people, even if it's contrary to what I believe. So here, you guys go start a colony way out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, hopefully, you know, you don't mess with Archie. We won't mess with yours.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that after Riker and the Enterprise crew left, if she would have done, like I said, would killed them and then maybe taken Ariel over to the village that they had kind of created, like their homestead, and then just burn the whole fucking place. And she said, if the Federation comes back, we'll do the same to them. And then it episode ends. I think that'd have been kind of cool.
Then it would have set them up to be a pretty badass villain.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like
these people, who do they think they are?
Yeah. Just like a race of warrior women. Just like, yeah, like fuck the Federation. Fuck the man kind of thing.
Yeah. Fuck the free world. 313.
But I appreciate Riker's willingness to, you know, bend to any situation to in the name of diplomacy.
Right. So we should talk about that too. Is he's a first officer. He should be the one that's talking Cruz out of thinking that way. I mean, it's great that he's doing the right thing, but yeah, it is interesting how the Federation that is looked at so fondly, you know, with these officers, and that we're doing the right thing and this is space exploration, but when it comes to moral questions, they're going against the rules a lot, which I think is interesting, because what we consider to be the right thing to do is the wrong thing based on Federation guidelines. So who's writing this book, and does it need to be rewritten? I think is a good question.
It just seems like, as far as the Prime Directive, it's like a minefield for this whole episode, because, you know, once they find the survivors that crashed there, they're not Starfleet. They're just a freighter. They are members of the Federation, but they are Starfleet officers cannot make them relocate. They cannot forcibly move them off the planet. So, you know, otherwise it would go against the rules. Okay. But then, you know, in the same vein, you know, they can't act against the natives of the planet either, because that would also go against the Prime Directive. So it's just like every single step of the way, there was no way that they could have gone without just walking away and letting people die that wouldn't have broken some sort of fundamental rule. So, yeah, like you said, there's nothing Riker could have done. It's not setting a good example for anybody. But then again, who's there to see it? You got Counselor Troy, you got Yar, and you got Data.
Data writes everything down.
Well, remember, then he kicked Data out. He's like, go back to the ship and take care of it.
Yar,
now it's just Yar and Troy. I banged Troy already, and I see the way Yar looks at me.
Oh, he's probably banged her too. Are you kidding? He's Riker. That's what it is exactly what he does. It's the language he speaks.
Yes. Love language.
Yeah.
Are we prepared to vote?
I think I am, yeah.
Shit, I was prepared to vote 10 seconds into this thing.
I could tell. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
I'll go first.
Okay. Sure.
All right.
Well, I'll say it at the count of three.
All right. So hear me out. I enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed kind of the campiness and cheesiness of it. And even though I realize it has been, I guess, rated one of the worst episodes in the franchise, I had a hell of a lot of fun with it. Maybe because it was so cheesy. But I was feeling particularly generous, and maybe it's the lack of sleep talking, but I'm going to give it a yay. A tentative yay.
You're crazy.
I did enjoy it.
I'm not sure we'd be Riker. Friends anymore.
I love Riker. I love seeing him, you know, get himself into situations with the ladies.
All right. That's fair. I didn't hate it. Our buddy Josh, he sent me a text like, oh my God, this week's episode of Star Trek was terrible. And I was like, oh, I haven't watched it yet. And he's like, oh my God, good luck, blah, blah, blah. But I'm watching it, and I'm kind of rewriting it in my mind of what I thought would have been better. And I didn't hate it nearly as much, but I'm still a nay across the board. I just for the reasons I mentioned, I don't like how it was two different stories going on at once. I think they should have picked one or the other. And I wasn't satisfied with the ending. So I am a nay.
So there were two and a half plots going out throughout this film. There was, you know, obviously the stuff happening down in Angel One. There was the... the illness, and there was the impending Romulan attack on the starbase, and I don't think any of them were particularly well navigated. My opinion of these episodes, because I've realized that there's something called like first season awfulness is what they refer to first Next Generation, and a lot of it has to do with Picard, and like the episodes that I've liked so far, I've noticed they're very dependent on Picard being a nice guy. Like, I really liked the long goodbye, or the whatever the goodbye one was, where they were in the holodeck. But this one was by far my least favorite episode that we've seen so far. I hated every second of it. I shouldn't take that. I liked the Riker seduction stuff, because of the camp and because I just love Riker. If there's one thing that's happened in this first season, it's I always liked Picard or Riker, but I just love the man. Like he is the one shining beacon in all of the awfulness that is season one. And but for all those reasons, this is a hard nay for me. This was the easiest choice I've had of any of the episodes thus far, and I hope to never have to watch it again.
All right, so that brings the total to 8 nays and 5 yays. We have widened the gap. And I'm not surprised. I'm genuinely not surprised. I mean, I let my fondness for Riker blur my decision this time, I think. That and the fact that I really kind of started digging on the ideas that Justin was pitching with his whole rewrite here. And maybe in my mind, I'm going to remember this episode with those rewrites.
Well, the next episode is widely considered the best episode of season one of The Next Generation.
Oh, shit. Oh,
fantastic. Okay, so let's take a look at that. Let's see how many stars this episode is being given.
7.5.
7.5. That is pretty high. Data Lore was a little bit higher, but this one, the episode name is in binary. It's 11001001. And it says, the Enterprise docks at a starbase for repairs, where it is commandeered by a race of technologically linked aliens intent on using the vessel for their own purposes. So that should be fun. I mean, it's not the starbase with the Romulan attack or anything, as we have found out, but yeah, so if it's widely regarded as one of the best, hopefully that'll be a palate cleanser for you guys, right?
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Is there a way to find out what 11001001 means?
I'll tell you what, by next week, if there is, we'll have it. We'll figure it out.
I don't speak nerd.
Well, I think the problem is you know, it's all, there are no spaces to where in binary, you know the different letters by the spaces, I think. I don't know.
No say way.
What? You don't say way?
I do not.
that's the code that you have to punch into the escape pod coordinates to be able to escape from this episode onto the next one.
There's got to be some Trekpedia thing that tells me what the hell this means.
So I fucking hate myself. So I typed in the 11001001, and then in the Google search I put in English, and it's like 11,001,001. No shit, you assholes.
That's funny. What can you do?
I don't know.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I like space. I like, what are they called? Technosexuals? What'd you call them, Randy?
Whoa. Oh, jeez. What? That is definitely not what I said. Technologically linked.
Oh.
But hold on. You're onto something. I'm gonna write this down. Technosexual.
Yeah.
That is we're gonna have to add another colored stripe onto the LGBTQ flag for technosexual.
I'll take it.
I tell you what.
All right.
We'll it'll be like a dark gray, kind of like grease, like engine oil or something like that.
All right. We'll take it.
Robot sex.
Get this escape pod to safety, man.
I don't know. I think we're gonna slam into the ground pretty soon. The plane has crashed into the mountain for sure on this one.
Eject.
All right. Thank you, one and all, for taking this time to listen to Geek Legacy's Escape Pod, episode number 13. And if you like the fun and geekery brought to you by these three fine geeky fellows, check out the Geek Legacy podcast proper, where we talk about all things new and exciting in the world of geek news. And be sure to join us next week, because that episode is going to be a lot of fun and apparently pretty good.